Well, this morning we are going to resume our exploration of the Fab Four. For those of you who weren't here with us 2 weeks ago, we're not talking about the Beatles. Instead, we are going to spend some time with the four evangelists. We've looked at Mark. Today we'll spend some time with Matthew, next week Luke, and then the week after that, John. We're doing this under the assumption that all four of the evangelists share the ultimate goal, and that is to offer a witness, a testimony to what God was doing in and through Jesus, what Jesus' ministry, his death, his resurrection meant and continue to mean. But we also believe that each of the Gospels has its own unique perspective, that each of the evangelists had his own take on the story of Jesus. We talked about Mark as the rebel. Today, we'll spend some time with Matthew, the insider. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to confess, I like feeling like an insider. Now, sometimes, some people do a really good job of making me feel like that means something. So I remember when I first became seriously involved with Rachel, her parents did a wonderful job of making me feel that I was part of the family. Being an insider had meaning. Far less meaningfully, I receive emails from various companies with which I do business, and they let me know that I am an insider, and so they're willing to give me a discount on some product I don't really need. So, being an insider, sometimes it means something, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes being an insider can be a good thing. It can provide us with a sense of affirmation. It can make us feel like we matter. And in a world filled with impersonal forces, that can make all the difference. But there are also times when being an insider has its darker side, because we can take pleasure from knowing that if we are insiders, somebody else is an outsider. Matthew recognized all of this as he wrote his gospel. Matthew, like Mark, was a Jewish Christian. He was an insider. He was part of Jesus' religious family. And his gospel was directed towards Jewish Christians like himself, other insiders. But Matthew wanted this community to understand that being an insider in Jesus' kingdom might not quite mean what people thought of it. Now, we chose today's reading from chapter 5, which is part of the Beatitudes, as our entry point into Matthew. And just a few moments ago, we heard Biff read Jesus' declaration that he had come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus did not see himself as representing a radical break with the past, but instead a continuity radically envisioned. The covenant with Israel was maintained. God's promises endured. But they may mean something slightly different than people thought. Now, Matthew wrote his gospel in the wake of the destruction of the temple. And there was a lot of debate and dissension going on in the wider Jewish community about what direction Judaism would take going forward. We know that it took a couple of different directions. We've seen that. with the hindsight of history. But back then, the debates were fierce. And the debates also took place within the church. Because some people thought, well, if you're going to be a Christian, you have to become Jewish first. Which meant if Gentiles wanted to follow Jesus, they had to convert. And for men, that of course meant circumcision. That was a big deal. Still is. But back then, no benefits of modern medicine. So we're talking about a serious barrier to entry. Now you recall from the book of Acts how Peter at first was of the party that said you had to become Jewish first. But Paul said, no, that's not necessary. And remember, both Peter and Paul were Jewish. Matthew adopted Paul's perspective. And we can see this notion of an inclusive insiderhood running throughout this gospel. If you turn to the very beginning of Matthew's gospel, easily found on page 1 of your pew Bibles, you don't have to do now, but you may if you'd like to, you'll recall that there is a genealogy. And Matthew shows where Jesus came from. And Jesus' ancestry is traced back through David, which shows that Jesus is the legitimate king of Israel and goes right back to Abraham. Jesus, Matthew says, is an insider. Jesus is clearly part of the story of Israel, and nobody should say otherwise. But look closely at this lineage, and you'll notice that there are some interesting twists and turns here. We see references to Rahab, the mother of Boaz. If you remember your Old Testament, you'll remember that Rahab was a prostitute. And then we read about David, who fathered Solomon with the wife of Uriah. The one incident in David's life that is included in the genealogy of Jesus is what? Adultery and betrayal and sinning. Matthew is sending a signal to us in the way he tells the story of Jesus' antecedents. Yes, it is filled with royal blood, but it is also filled with the people that we would often look on in society as outsiders, people that we might want to judge, people who would be seen as being beyond the pale. Matthew tells us through the story of Jesus' background that being an insider in Jesus' world might be something a little bit different than what we anticipated. It might mean being an insider with people that we would normally think of as not being worthy of insiders. But then think about David, the greatest king in the history of Israel. He's about as fallen as they get, just like you and me. So maybe there's hope for us. Maybe we can be insiders in this new kingdom. Then fast forward to the end of the gospel. Do you remember how Matthew's gospel ends? It's with the Great Commission. The 11 are sent out to go and share the word with all the world. Not just the members of their own community, but all the world. And Matthew here draws on an ancient tradition within Jewish scripture, in which God is proclaimed as being the Lord of all creation. Everybody gets to be an insider in the kingdom of God. We can go back to chapter 5. Look at the Beatitudes. Who's blessed? The poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There is room for everybody to be included. Now, some of you might be sitting out there and saying, okay, Steve, that's all very nice. I can get that from a Hallmark card. Let's just wrap arms around one another and sing Kumbaya. Well, we can wrap arms around one another and sing Kumbaya, and I promise you, I won't do the solo. But I'd like to suggest there's something more at work here for us, because remember, when the Gospels were written down, they were meant to be shared and passed down. And we're looking at the Fab Four because we're seeking inspiration for ourselves today. What does it mean for us as insiders? And here we are sitting in a congregational church. Just yesterday, I had the opportunity to talk with a Pentecostal pastor. And with due humility, mention how the congregational church was first on the block here in America. Although I conceded, perhaps the Anglicans might claim they were here first in Jamestown. And we're not even going to talk about the Catholic Church. So what if they were all over Florida and Colorado and California and Mexico? We're Congregationalists. We're here first. We're the insiders. But maybe not. See, even when we've got our traditions that make us feel like we're the insiders, we can start looking at things a little differently, think, well, maybe there's a different way to look at things. What does that mean for a congregation? I look out these pews, and I see people who've been here for just a couple of years. I see people who've been here for a couple of decades. I see people who've been here for more than a couple of decades. Each generation is confronted with a choice. We, the insiders, how are we going to treat the people who come in through the front door? Are we going to welcome them? Are we going to help them to become insiders? Or are we going to say, you are more than welcome here, as long as you follow the rules, as long as you do things this way? We are very lucky that Jesus never came and said, you're welcome, just follow the rules and do it this way, because we all would have failed. It is hard as an insider to welcome outsiders. None of this is meant to be easy. It can be challenging. It can mean letting go of traditions and beloved patterns of living together. And I do think it is important for the outsiders who want to become insiders to recognize that perhaps the people who've been around a while may have some good ideas. Maybe they've learned something through experience. Maybe there's a reason that tradition developed. So maybe the way forward is for everybody to think of himself or herself not as an insider, but as an outsider. But while doing that, to also recognize that one can be an insider. We should never get too set in our ways of seeing things. We should remember there are different ways to tell the story and to interpret it. Matthew told the story about Jesus, the rabbi, the teacher. And he wanted his audience, his congregation, to understand that, yes, they were insiders, but that all people everywhere are insiders. Because the kingdom of heaven does not belong to humanity. It's God's. And amazingly enough, surprisingly enough, but fortunately enough, God has welcomed each of us in. God has decided to make each of us in his home an insider. Let's follow his example and do the same for one another as we pray that others will do the same for us.